Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called God and Savior. If Jesus were only human, his death could not have paid our debt. But Jesus is both man and God, able to represent us, yet able to bear the wrath of the Father. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Would you like to go behind the scenes at Wretched Radio? Not really. Well, you're going to go anyway. This is a dramatic recreation of what a conversation would sound like between me and Jimmy off the air. Here we go. Hey, Jimmy.
Yes, sir.
Do you think that I'm going to get slammed for anything that I said in those last two segments?
Well, I don't know.
Maybe. Do you think there was anything that gave anybody the idea that I was trying to resolve or settle a particular subject, a particular issue regarding the genesis was the Al Begg controversy or any of these other LGBTQ? Is anybody going to be able to go, he's being squishy, or, oh, he's being really strident? Anybody going to be able to do that?
I don't think so. No, you didn't. You didn't give a particular.
I know. I thought at the end, it sounded like that. Mm-hmm. Because as I'm speaking, sometimes I'm thinking, shouldn't you be thinking all the time when you're speaking? I was thinking, because I used the Al Begg advice as an example. Well, that's all it was. It was an example. Mm-hmm. And talking to different theologians, they were like, well, I don't know that I want to call it a sin what he did. But I don't know that it's an adiaphora. It seems like it's more than that, but it's less than the other. I'm just telling you, that's what I heard. And I have been trying to not tip my hand and give my opinion, to speak as if I'm somehow the pulpit pontificator. I get to tell pastors exactly what they're supposed to do and how to think about this issue. Well, I ain't that. But I've talked to enough really good theologians to know we're in it. If the Little Britannica Cliff's Notes version that we did of Adiaphora perhaps caused you to go, okay, those issues that the early church or the Reformation church wrestled with, those don't seem so complex. Well, that's only because we're not in them. And we don't, these days, robes? Really? Who? In evangelicalism, is anybody wearing a robe except for maybe baptism? Anybody? So to us, it's like nothing. Back then, it was like, whoa, big deal here. And they fought over these things, and they had to sort them and figure them out. And by the way, the issues of Adiaphora, the gray areas, there are so many. We are giving away a resource. It's called Christian Liberty. You can get it for free. It's pretty big. It's 21 short lectures on this subject. You can visit wretched.org/liberty because we want to help. We want to try to forward some of the thoughts historically on the subject. And what are the rules and principles of determining whether it's right or wrong to do A, B, or C? And so historically, there have been church adiaphora. And some of these are alive and well today. Here's a list. Clothing. Should a man always wear a suit and tie? Should a woman always wear a dress? Pastoral robes, worship times, kids in worship, mode of baptism, building programs, church government, drums, guitars, finances and spending, catechism instruction. There are some who are like, you got to do that. And others who are like, well, you don't got to do it. I mean, sure, and we have strong convictions, instruments in worship. Close or closed communion, Saturday versus Sunday worship, pulpits or plexiglass podiums. There's morality adiaphora, tattoos, makeup, wardrobe, automobile, video size or video games, size of house, secular music, fantasy fiction, women's clothing, kissing, holding hands when you're dating, cosmetic surgery or hair dye, smoking, drinking, dancing, movies, education, public, private, homeschool. That's real to us, isn't it? And I guarantee you, if the Lord tarries, and I hope he doesn't, in 100 years, our current list of adiaphora, there's going to be some skinny, dorky talk show host somewhere going, do you believe they used to fight over these things? Do you believe that used to be an issue? Duh, it's so obvious. Of course this is the way it is. That's the way that we look back. Being in it is my concern. That we got to work through this lovingly. And I'm not trying to tip my hand. I'm not trying to tell you what Alistair Begg did or didn't do. I've got an opinion on that. I'm resistant. Would I like to tell you? Sure. But these issues are too complex for one individual to make the authoritative decision, rendering the verdict, slamming the gavel. This is the way it needs to be. I just don't think we're there. And we need to understand adiaphora, what it is. There's political adiaphora, drug laws, spending caps, foreign policy, military budgets, shovel-ready jobs, immigration instruction bills, infrastructure bills, individual tax rates, corporate tax rates, social program funding, incarceration programs, import-export policies, balanced budget amendments. Yeah. Huh? We got a lot of stuff we got to sort. And the subject that helps us sometimes, not all the time, is the subject of adiaphora. It's found in Romans chapter 14. This is from verse 13. Let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. Now, there are some people who use adiaphora, and they'll use that very specific text. I think it was Ligonier Ministries, maybe R.C. Sproul, who said that adiaphora, the stumbling block, it gets used as a cudgel. Hey, you can't do that because you're making me stumble. So we got to know what it means to actually stumble. Nevertheless, that's not our focus. I know I'm persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in and of itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it's unclean. So there's the issue. And there's a limitation to adiaphora. Here's what we can't do with adiaphora. And you, as you ponder this, you're going to find yourself a bit frustrated. And I get that. I cannot say that an adiaphora is every single time when two brothers have a difference of opinion on a subject and they disagree, it's automatically adiaphora. Can't do that. Why? Well, because it has to be something that actually isn't sinful. There is a limitation to Romans 14 in that Paul tells us which side is right, and therefore the weaker brother is the one who doesn't think that he can do something that God doesn't prohibit. So now we fast forward to the 21st century, and we ask the question about all these contemporary issues that we've already been reading. All right, is this that? Is this an adiaphora? Well, it could be, but we've got to be able to determine if it is something that is actually okay. That means we can't always use adiaphora just as the tiebreaker. We can't say, well, we disagree. It must be adiaphora. Nope, not necessarily. Might be. And that is why wisdom is so crucial. And being patient with one another when we are so anxious to get everything resolved with a simple text. We can't be doing that to one another. When we consider an issue, to determine whether or not it is a gray area, a sin or not a sin, I think of a string. I think of a line. I think of a reed, a measuring stick. You've got to be able to take a Bible verse that contains a principle and draw as straight a line as possible, but it's never going to be a perfectly straight line. Why? Well, because it's a principle to application. Let me explain. Thou shalt not murder. That's really clear. I can't kill you. Can I punch you in the nose? You say, well, no, because that's harming a human being, and that principle is contained in thou shalt not murder. Furthermore, we're supposed to love our neighbor. That punching somebody in the nose is not loving our neighbor. Therefore, it's a sin to punch somebody in the nose. I think we get that, don't we? But what about a wet willy? That's disgusting. Is that a sin to do that? What if I'm just playing? It annoys somebody, but I'm just funning. And all of a sudden, you've got yourself, and I know this isn't the greatest example, but you got yourself different details, different complexities, a different action, a different intention, a different relationship. There's no anger involved. It's actually a sign of affection, which it's not, by the way. If you've ever had one of those nasty pranks pulled on you, okay, we need to be able to draw a straight line. So, for instance, with attending a gay wedding, I think Ephesians 5:11, you just have nothing to do with evil deeds of dark, nothing to do. And it's not loving, it's not genuinely loving to affirm somebody in their sin. I think that's a pretty straight line. Perfectly straight? Well, it can't be, because that would make it an explicit text that would say a Christian shouldn't attend a gay wedding ceremony. That's an okay, clear, got it, bang, done. So I'm taking the principle from Ephesians 5:11 and I'm applying it, and I think that's pretty direct. Now, somebody comes along and says, I don't think it is, and here's why, and they start to explain it. Does that automatically make it an adiaphora because we disagree? And the answer is no, because I'm persuaded that's a straight line. But here's the trick. And sorry to pull you into this, my fundamentalist friends, my dear brothers and sisters. You believe dancing, drinking, smoking, going to the movies is a sin. You firmly believe that. And if we come along and say, no, we disagree with that, do we have an adiaphora? Or is it actually a sin? Next on Wretched Radio.
Are you ready to go on an adventure that tackles life's biggest questions head on? Well, we invite you to join John Fabares and Jake Ream on a riveting journey in Road Trip to Truth Season 4. This season, they're hitting the road to explore deep questions about sin, atheism, racism, and the very nature of truth itself. Through candid conversations with university students and wisdom from experts, this season delivers some unwavering answers from a biblical perspective. Whether it's understanding the reality of heaven and hell, navigating the complexities of marriage, or uncovering the truths about money and forgiveness, Road Trip to Truth Season 4 will be your guide. It's perfect for youth groups, families, or anyone who seeks to defend their faith with confidence. Road Trip to Truth has been more than a series. It's a tool for sparking meaningful discussions and inspiring a commitment to the gospel. So if you're ready to head out on a road trip, buckle up for the truth. Road Trip to Truth Season 4, available now at wretched.org/4.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family, and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, you're the reason that we get so excited about every broadcast. Now, one of the questions you may be wondering is, what's it like on the other side? You know, we know everyone's life is a bit different, and not everyone is in a place that they can contribute in the same way, and that is perfectly okay. But if you are, I want to encourage you to actually put some more thought and some more prayer and some more conversation into it. If you feel moved, if you feel led, and you're in a good spot in your life right now, then we would welcome you with open arms. But hey, remember this, if you're in debt, if you're not giving to your local church, then we don't want you giving to us. When have you ever heard a ministry turn down donations? Because that's not who we are. We don't want to put any pressure or undue stress on you to partner with us. So if you're in a good place in your life right now, visit wretched.org/donate or text the word wretched to the number 44321. Every bit of support, big or small, makes a tremendous difference. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Hermeneutics. A vital part of biblical hermeneutics is an understanding of genre.
One genre we find in Scripture is gospel. The Gospels are four complementary narrative accounts of the same story from a different perspective with a different emphasis. God delivers his timeless truth through a multitude of witnesses. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And now, an unrehearsed dramatic recreation. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, congratulations. You're playing the role of the evangelical who has liberty to dance, to smoke, to drink without getting drunk, and to go to movies.
Okay.
I, on the other hand, I'm a brother. I'm an independent fundamentalist Baptist brother. I believe in the essentials, just like you do. Justification by faith. There is no damnable doctrine in either one of our creeds. We are brothers.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that those issues are sinful.
Okay.
All right. Now, why don't you try to persuade me they're not? Go. Pick
oh, my
dancing.
Goodness. Dancing.
No, let's do that. Let's pick smoking. You smoke. You think it's okay to smoke? I think absolutely not. Go.
I don't know that I can do this.
You say there's no Bible verse that says you can't smoke.
Right. Well, that's...
Oh, yes, there is.
Which is what?
1 Corinthians 6, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And you might point out... I'll just put words in your mouth.
Thank you.
You might point out, oh, no, the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's in the context of sexual immorality where you're linking your body with somebody else and you shouldn't do that. It has nothing to do with inhaling fumes that may or may not be good for your body. So context-wise, I don't think that you got a leg to stand on with your 1 Corinthians 6, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and you can't pollute the inside of the temple. No. I'm telling you, look at the death rates. It's bad for people. It's actually promoting murder because we know that it takes people's life sooner. And I'm persuaded of this. Now, the question is it an adiaphora? How did it become what we would call an evangelicalism? The Jimmies of the world would say it's a gray area. And we can disagree on this. The only way that he can make that conclusion is if he's persuaded it's not a sin to smoke. Because every subject can't be tidily packaged with a bow that says adiaphora. Because sometimes there are things, no, they actually are sinful. The meat being sacrificed to idols in Romans 14, it wasn't sinful. So that... We've got that side of the equation. But the challenge to this subject is when I firmly believe it's a sin. I firmly believe it. So let's use one of our contemporary issues. And again, I'm just using a subject. We're playing roles. I'm simply trying to spread a little bit of a banquet for us to consume. That's what I'm trying to accomplish here. No more, no less. So the subject, let's say, is it would be going to, I don't want to use the Alistair Begg one because no matter what I say, somebody will say that I'm actually taking a side and making a decision. So let's pick, how's about using pronouns. All right. Let's just say I, Bob, just to separate myself even further. No, you can absolutely, positively cannot use a pronoun. You can't do it. And therefore, it would be a sin to do it. Now, can somebody else come along and say, well, no, I don't think that's a sin at all. Therefore, we slap adiaphora on it, call it a day, and go to church together. Not so fast. Not so fast. Because we need to know whether or not it actually is or isn't a sin. For it to be adiaphora, it can't be a sin. Did you catch that? For it to be an adiaphora, a disputable dispensation, a Romans 14 issue, it can't be a sin. That's why you can't just say that every dispute that you have is automatically a gray area. You can't do that. And this gets so hard. Because I'm so persuaded of my rightness. And that is why this subject is so difficult. And this is why I believe that there just might be a third category that needs to be considered between sin, adiaphora, and this stuff that we're dealing with here. And your pastor, by the way, is dealing with these issues constantly. You have no idea what is put before that man on a daily basis for him to sort. And I would like to just suggest that we consider, without becoming compromised liberals, third wayers, just we're the nice Christians because we just don't take an opinion about nothing. No, I'm not saying that. But perhaps the category, I can't think of a better name, perhaps you can. The best category name that I can concoct is wisdom. That somebody walks into the pastor's office and it's one of these issues. Okay, like what we read earlier. Okay, my mom's sister is bringing her daughter who's bringing her wife. And there's two bedrooms and we've got to, and so the sister can sleep on the couch, but there's only a double, so they would have to sleep in the queen size bed. So what should they do? What should mom do about this? And even though you might have an opinion about it, because the pastor's going to start asking more and more questions about this, it's going to get more and more complex, and we simply need to allow a pastor in a local church, the elders of a local church, to operate in a field that we're going to call wisdom. Because we can at this point, I think we're going to be able to at some point, as time passes, more of these debates, these in-house debates take place, I think we're going to come up with some firm convictions and go, yeah, this is what it is. This is, yep, it's definitely adiaphora, or it's definitely sin. In the meantime, can we simply let local churches operate underneath the banner of wisdom as they are striving to please their master, who happens to be your master too? They will give an account to the Lord, not to you or to me. And we give a little room for that to happen. And we perhaps at this point resist the temptation for the clear definitions, the black and white verdicts that I personally prefer a lot, and that I will respect you enough, love you enough, not give you credit for reading a Bible on occasion, and not trying to be licentious in your decision-making, then you sort it. And that, by the way, is the business of the local church. And that is why those of us who podcast or do radio broadcasts or blog, we got to watch it. We got to watch it, because I know this. Pastor is in the Bible. Church is in the Bible. Podcaster and radio host are not. Spiritual gifts, I don't see talking with a microphone as being one of those spiritual gifts. In other words, I need to respect what's going on in the local church and let godly people exercise wisdom. And if, sorry, I have to do this again, if you're thinking that I'm thinking about one particular subject, I am not. I'm talking about a general principle here so that we can sort through this. How long will it take? It depends on the issue. Some of these are clear. Some of them are muddy, but all of them have details. And there might just be some details that you and I don't know about, that you and I haven't considered because we're not privy to those things. And this is not to suggest that you should therefore go, well, I guess I don't have an opinion anymore. It doesn't matter. Not saying that. We need your voice in this, but I do believe our voices need to be heard most in the context of our local church, as our local pastors, our local elders are making a lot of these decisions, and we can converse about it on these different platforms. We can, but boy, do we need to remember the limitations. I would encourage you to go watch the video that we posted 2 days ago, 3 days ago, which I have a confession to make. It just warmed my cold conservative heart, the number of people that watched it. I really was amazed. I don't know what the number count is at the moment, but I was really pleased because it's not a whoop-de-doo video. It's not like you've got fireworks going off and wacky or anything that might be attention-getting. It's basically a reading of John Newton's letter to a pastor who was going to publicly critique another pastor in the newspaper. And John Newton gave some rules, and he's like, "Ooh, you better be praying a lot. You need to remember that person is your brother. You need to remember that other people are listening. You got to remember that unbelievers are even going to read that. And guess what? They might not be able to discern doctrine, but they can discern when somebody's a jerk. And that is not a good testimony for the Christian." I encourage you to go watch that. I don't know what it's called. It's got Justin Peters' picture on the front cover because we did it for a brand new resource called Thou Shalt Judge. It's not available yet. Because we need to create a better culture. Before we mirror the world and become the cancel culture, is there a time to cancel? Yep, Romans 14. Got it. But that should be last resort. Not quick draw, verdicts being rendered, proclamations being made. Let's study the issue of adiaphora, because it's not an easy one to get your brain around. And let's study these individual issues. Let's bring explicit verses. Let's bring implicit verses. And let's get this sorted so that one day the church will look back and go, "Oh, that was easy." But we're not there yet. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.